And 23 minutes after the hour, we're in touch with Dr. Don Clark, member of the board of Creation Moments and a biochemist and, frankly, the only scientist we consider to be a staff member here, good friend of the station. We've been doing this for what, Don? Seven years?
Oh,
seven
geez,
and a half years? Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember anymore. It's been, we've been doing it pretty consistently.
Well,
sometimes,
we have.
You know, one of us is off, but yeah. It's
well,
good to be back.
We talk science with Don, and oftentimes it boils down to like a faith versus science kind of conversation. While we don't intend for there to be that juxtaposition between the two, a lot of the articles we deal with really highlight the difference between science and faith. And we keep talking about the need to get the two together. Global warming, that whole climate change thing reminds me of this too. It's like scientists from both camps are looking at the data, which nobody's disputing. You know, the temperature's this, and the winds are this, and the rainfall is this, and so forth. But they can't agree on why. It seems to be that science has a difficult time dealing with the why question. And this article kind of highlights that in a way, too. This is about what they're tempted to call a new species of, and now there's a different humanim or humanoid or human anyway, that has been found in South Africa. And in fact, it's not a recent discovery. This thing goes back 20 years. And Don, in this case, a couple of scientists have been fighting over the rights to publish and to study these bones. Now, are these bones or are these fossils or is there a difference between the two?
Well, they're fossilized bones is what they are. If you read, in the article, two guys actually, one guy found it. They started working on it. The bones were actually encased in rock. That should give you a hint, as to the origins of the bones as far as how did it get encased in rock. And so it took quite some time to painstakingly extract these bones out of the rock. And as the article describes, the researcher used an air gun basically to blast away little tiny bits of stone away from the bones
calling bones will be not bone material but minerals, right? If it's a fossil. If it's when you say fossilized bones, does that mean simply a literal human bone is encased in the rock and it hasn't been replaced by minerals that normally create a fossil?
Well, yes, it's not like a fossilized tree, for example, which is mineralized.
Okay.
Because of the pores, in the tree. This appears to be just bone in rock. And a little later in the article, they say, well, we think this is 3.7, million years old. But the interesting thing about they got most of the bones out of the rock, so they have a pretty good skeleton there. And the researchers said, well, you know, this kind of looks like Lucy, but it's not Lucy. It's different in several ways. One, it's got little feet, and so they call it Littlefoot. The arms are a little shorter than the legs, and so therefore it's not like a monkey, which has longer arms than legs. And so they're trying to suggest, obviously, that it's a different type of being or animal, but yet it is a hominid. It is a pre-human because, we think the hips suggest, for example, that this creature walked upright. And bipedalism is the key to, a pre-human. So the story goes. So the question arises, why are we so fascinated with this in the first place? Why the dating when a couple of weeks ago we were talking about this other research, which was in the same New Scientist publications, mm-hmm. We're talking about gee, most of the animals, 90%+ of the animals and humans seem to have been, arrived on the scene 100 to 200,000 years ago. And I guess these folks, here's some other folks that aren't reading the same journal, are suggesting that this is 3.7 million years ago. So, you know, the dating is off. The fact that it's encased in mud suggests that, okay, this is another, result of the catastrophe, which was the flood. Because how else are you going to get encased in mud unless you have, mud flows that are moving very, very rapidly. And this specimen was found in a cave in Africa. And, the thinking of evolutionists is that pre-humans, started in Africa. Of course, we know from Genesis that actually started in the Middle East after the flood of Noah. I mean, not the start, but at least the evidence of post-flood humans, of course, and all species really, came after the flood, and the animals were, of course, released from the ark, and man stepped off the ark to begin new civilization, which he stayed.
When you say to begin a new civilization, the Bible says that they were to disperse and spread over the earth, which is what happened in time. And,
But it took God's intervention to mm-hmm. get them to spread.
Yeah, well, people are like that,
because they landed in the Shinar Valley, and there they stayed, trying to reach up to heaven to become like gods. Where have we heard that story before?
Yeah, sounds vaguely familiar.
Mm-hmm. So God confused their languages, and then you had different language groups that went in different directions, and finally you had the dispersal over the land.
And what better way to do it than through language? But this particular article disturbs me on a number of levels. One, they found foot bones, and then later they say they found the rest of the skeleton encased in a rock. Now, how can they be sure that those foot bones came from the same, from inside that rock, from the same creature who was and this is now a cave where there were supposedly, and this cave has been written about many times, all kinds of bodies in there tossed around, and who knows what kind of a combination of animals or humans washed into that cave with the flood. I mean, how do they relate these foot bones to the same fossilized bones that were encased in rock when the foot bones weren't with them? That reminds me of Lucy. We've talked about Lucy. Lucy was made up of bones from 100 or 1,000 yards apart.
Well, yes, absolutely. And we're just piecing them together. Well, bones like this are numbered. So you can just match the numbers, and that's how you know where the pieces go. No, they're not. I'm just teasing, obviously.
like a paint by number kind of deal, huh? Yeah.
Yes, and so
you can't get DNA, can you, from a fossilized bone, or can you?
I don't think they've actually looked. It might, because of the dinosaur DNA. And the samples and organic matter that
soft
is
tissue,
found
yeah.
in the soft tissue analysis that has been done, I don't think they've tested. There's certainly no evidence, because your paleontologists are looking at the bones and trying to figure out what's happening, but you need a molecular biologist to do the DNA analysis. So a different discipline, but they should work together to find out, okay, are these bones matching these other bones, or are we just finding these and hoping it belongs to the same one? The interesting thing, since you brought up Lucy, the interesting thing about Lucy was the reason why they called Lucy a pre-human, a hominid, was because they found footprints near the site where they found Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And these footprints were quite human-like. And a matter of fact, you couldn't distinguish them from human footprints today. But because they have the evolutionary story, they didn't realize or could possibly think that those footprints were actually belonged to a human.
Mm-hmm.
So are these little feet from human remains as well, and they just stuck them on the set of bones? Well, of course, that's possible, although they're not describing the little feet. They only have one foot actually on the skeleton that they show in the picture. So, yeah, it's difficult to really suggest what this skeleton represents, other than it could have been a different kind, or clearly it is ape-like, because they mentioned that it looks like this creature spent more time in the trees than on the ground, but because of the hip. And that's the same thing with Lucy. They suggested that she walked upright because of the hip bone. Well, the hip bone, they had to fabricate most of it themselves in order to have a full a full hip bone. Well, if you're fabricating a hip bone, why not fabricate it to look like, oh, this creature walked upright? And so, we get these things, and I hate to say it, but scientists aren't necessarily completely honest when they are putting some of these things together, especially when it's their careers are on the line and they're trying to make some type of a splash headline to say that we have found yet another missing link in the human evolution, which of course would make a big story, and we can put these in the textbooks and distribute that among the kids so that we can have more propaganda to teach the kids that, look, you didn't just, you weren't created, you evolved from monkeys, and here's the picture that we can draw.
Now, that's the aspect of this article that strikes me as foremost, that's central to the article. Here are two scientists working on this thing for 20 years, contending with each other for the right to publish and to study. And what a feather in their cap if they could actually announce that this is a new species of human being, of early human. That's a career maker, isn't it?
It definitely would be. I mean, that's what with a paleontologist, that's what you're looking for.
But so there's an urge to do that. If they had really discovered that, this was some other animal or no different than anything else we've seen, then all their work is for naught. But if they can put together enough facts and fill in the blanks with their own predisposition and say, aha, new species, they can make some money there and build a career and a reputation. So I see the impetus here. That seems to come out to me in this article. How about you?
Well, there's certainly a flavor of that. And one scientist doesn't want to be scooped by another, especially when you've worked all your whole career is digging up this one set of bones. You don't want to come out at the end saying that, oh, it's just another one of these. you've got to find some reason to say, hey, this is a new discovery, or else your whole career is kind of down the tubes, and you've wasted 20, 25 years just, extracting these bones and studying them and trying to find some clue that there's some difference when maybe there isn't. And even at the conclusion of the article, it's suggesting that, I don't know, we don't have enough evidence here to suggest this is a new species, or even a new, in creation, we would say a new kind, and there's a lot more species than there are kinds. So is this an ape? It's definitely an ape-like creature, let's put it that way. Then they're not disputing that. What the whole emphasis here is, did this creature walk upright? And if it walked upright, then how much did it walk upright? And we're trying to prove that it walked upright quite a bit. And there's, you know, how do you get that from bones, as I say, when you weren't even there? I mean, it's, even when you read the article, it's like, oh, gee whiz, it's a she, interestingly enough.
Well, they conclude that it like was an elderly female. I don't know how they do that, but okay.
That had a shoulder injury, and which apparently happened early in life, and this creature suffered with it for, you know, all of its life. And they have a nice little story in the article. It's like, oh, gee whiz, we can tell how this individual or this creature lived. So therefore, certainly we can tell, you know, that this is a new pre-human, and it should deserve a class on its own. And it's one of these things that, how much is storytelling and how much is fact?
Excellent point. And where's the scientific integrity here? You know, and I don't want to really slam these scientists. I don't know enough about it. I haven't worked with them. I haven't seen this thing. But just judging from this article, there's not a whole lot here to get excited about.
Well, there isn't. And, you know, it's like... we've studied Lucy now quite a bit, and we know the origins of Lucy, and we're, you know, the creation scientists have pretty much said, Lucy is just another, you know, maybe a unique animal, but it's an ape. It's in the apish family as opposed to the human family, and it's certainly not pre-human. And guess what, folks? The footprints that you found, those are really human. So it wouldn't surprise me that the little foot that they've associated with this skeleton actually turns out to be a human foot or somebody else's foot that they've just kind of, you know, stuck onto the skeleton because it was in the same general area.
Well, yeah. If they can't get DNA, then there's really no way to conclusively prove this, is it? Because you have to theorize, you have to speculate, you have to take some hopefully educated guesses to reach your conclusions. But that can lead a lot of different people, you know, probably as many scientists as there would be that many different opinions on this if they all honestly reported what they saw.
Well, that's the case, but you would have to... And I'm not ruling out that you couldn't find some type of organic matter there, especially, you know, at least DNA prints, because if this fossil is really the result, you know, in being encased in the mud or the rock is, you know, really a result of the flood, catastrophe of the flood, then it's not that old. You know, it's not the 3.7 million years old, as they claim. It would be, you know, more like a little over 4,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And being encased in rock could have preserved some of the organic matter. That would be a good test to see if something's there. But, of course, they wouldn't want to, you know, take a little bit and destroy the skeleton, if you will. Not that you would have to really do much digging in order to get a little bit of material, because we can do DNA analysis on very, very small samples these days. So, yeah, it's a good suggestion. Maybe we should write them and say, hey, have you done DNA testing? Or, you know, have you looked at some of the cross sections under a microscope to see whether or not you can have some organic material there?
Well, I think we've arrived at the same cul-de-sac we have before. There are problems with the aging. There's lack of DNA evidence, which really would be definitive, I would think, at least as definitive as science can do it these days. And it clearly hasn't been done here yet, although I would think it's the first thing that occurred to them. Boy, if we could have some DNA samples, then we could prove what we're speculating about here. And maybe that work is ongoing, but they've had this skeleton or the remnants of it for over 20 years. For those of you who are interested in seeing the picture of this critter, there's a link in the BrokenRoadRadio.com chat window there. You can click on that and read the article and see the picture for yourself. We're talking with Dr. Don Clark, biochemist and a member of the Board of Creation Moments. I do want to point out their website to you. CreationMoments.com is a repository in its own right of scientific information that explains, elucidates, and elaborates on the biblical story of creation and supports it. Not coincidentally, there's lots of that kind of information out there if you take the time to read it and absorb it, and if you're willing to buck the trend in secular science. Don, thanks very much for joining us this week, and we'll look forward to next Tuesday. Stay warm. How's the weather in Garden Valley today?
Oh, well, we had freezing weather this morning. And yesterday, we have, I'm looking out the window, we have frost on the ground. Mm. Not snow. I mean, we're not like North Carolina and Virginia. We don't have 20 inches of snow on the ground. Matter of fact, we didn't have any snow, but we do have frost.
Okay, so. Well, tend those grapes, Don, a vineyard, some beautiful vineyards and a wine tasting facility there. Valle della Pace is the name of the vineyard. And you could also find out what they do from BrokenRoadRadio.com. There's also a link to Valle della Pace there. And Don, we wish you a great week, and we'll talk to you Tuesday.
All right. Sounds good. You have a great week, too. And perhaps, David will be back with us again.
Well,
at
I think
some point
so.
In time.
He seems to sky out whenever you show up. I can't figure that out yet. So.
Oh, I see. Maybe
I don't think it's anything personal.
He doesn't want to join our conversation.
So. Well, he does kind of hang around and hang in the background a bit there. So, Don, have a good week. We'll see you.
Okay. So
Bye.
Long.